Welcome back to Secondhand Therapy.
Okay, Stevie.
What's up?
Where's your piano?
What are you talking about?
Take them off.
You're allowed to wear glasses, and I'm not allowed to wear glasses. Is that the deal?
That's right.
These are prescription.
They're not. Here's the difference. One, I'm sick, right? And if you can hear that in my voice, I'm sorry. And if I have to cough during the show, I'm sorry. If I have to sneeze, I'm sorry. Please give me grace. Also, take off the glasses. You look like a fucking asshole. I put on glasses to look softer and more approachable. You're putting on glasses. Why? Correct. Take them off.
To look like my authentic self. Mr. Badass. You know what? I'm sick too. Sick of that fucking attitude. Welcome to the show. We're not therapists. We're not licensed professionals. We're not gurus. We're just a couple of fucking idiots. Don't take our advice. Also, we have a Patreon. Go check it out. Tons of bonus clips on there. What else?
No, what else?
Enjoy the show.
Thanks for being here. Got a little cold. Frustrated because I don't have a lot to talk about this week, okay? Because my therapist, a lot of parts work. You do parts work in therapy?
No, we just be talking about stuff.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm very jealous. So parts work, what we're doing. We're identifying the parts of me. And every time we identify a part of me, it comes with, let's sit with that part for a minute. And then I sit. And then it's, what is this part afraid of if it stepped aside and just let you handle this as your authentic self? Over and over and over. And let's acknowledge that part, that makes sense. Let's let that part know. Hey, do you hear yourself?
So is it just so silly that you can't believe in it, or are you actually not feeling any different in those moments?
How do I look in these glasses? Tell me the truth.
You look great.
These are good?
Yeah.
Can I have them?
No.
Why?
They're my glasses.
Why don't you love me?
I do.
I'm sick. These would make me feel better.
Well, you got them now.
Okay. I'll take them off. I'll take them off for you. Dude, no, I don't feel different at all. I feel annoyed.
Even after, days after, it doesn't make it different. You're not feeling any different.
No. 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 I told her, I was like, what are we doing? And she's like, you need to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
This in the long run is going to be incredibly helpful. It's going to be way more beneficial than us just doing heady discussions. And so I'm trying to trust the process.
That's my last question about it. Well, not my last, but you know, whatever. Is have you had any kind of emotional flare up or anything where these parts work would come and where you could use those tools that you just learned or where that stuff?
Oh, she's promising it will.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Well, we're at the part now where we're still identifying parts. And she said the average person has anywhere from 30 to 60 parts.
Holy shit.
And then, so once we identify them all, we're going to start, I'm going to bring a journal in, and we're going to start like mapping out my parts to like visualize and, okay, I'm trying to trust the process.
What is the whole? What is the resistance that you have? It's just silly.
Yeah, and I have a podcast to do. You know,
you're like, lady.
Why is my dad the way he is? How did it affect me?
We're recording on Thursday. The
people need to know.
I gotta figure this out.
But yeah, and it does feel it feels silly, and it also in the moment, it just, it feels like a waste of time. I go out of that session and I'm just like, okay, cool. A part of me is, the instinct is to make a joke. Well, I knew that, didn't I? Do I need to know which part and when I adapted it and all that? I'm sure I do. I'm sure it'll be helpful. I'm just being impatient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, dude. So parts work.
How many parts did you identify?
Oh, fucking 4 or something.
Oh, wow. Oh,
so I'm going to do this for the next 8 years.
Yeah, see, that's a really slow process.
Yeah, she said it'd be a few weeks before we identify them all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite yet?
There was one that I forget. I already forget which one it was. But she always asks you, like, what does this part look like when you think of it? And I don't know why. I was picturing this big, black, jagged crystal-looking thing.
Really?
That was interesting.
So you don't see people, you don't see them as, like, identities, as in, like...
I thought it would be, like, versions of myself through time.
Mm-hmm.
No. Like, she shapes. Was talking, she's like, I have a part that looks like Dobby the House Elf. She's like, I don't know. But that's how I identify that part. She's like, you have the black crystal part. I was like, okay.
Are they all shapes and colors, or do you have like human forms in there?
Some of them are like, yeah.
Interesting.
Me at 16.
Mm.
One of them was, it was like a little Elmer Fudd, like cartoon character. He's leaned up against the wall with his arms crossed, just tapping his foot.
How do you identify these things? You just...
Because she'll say something and she'll be like... And I'll give her my first thought.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to talk about this. She goes, okay, so I think we're encountering a part. She's like, what is this part saying? Like, he's saying, move along. He's like, man, get out of here. We're good. We need to talk about it. She's like, what does that part look like? And I'm like, and I'm just imagining this little cartoon character just arms crossed, just tapping his foot. Like,
yeah.
And she's like,
hmm.
What if we asked him to step aside? What would he say? And I'll sit there and I'll like try to like envision this thing and like asking it to step aside. And he goes, nope, I got work to do.
Really?
Yeah. And I just, and these things come out.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I'm like, is this real or is this just my first impulse of something? I'm trying to trust the process.
That's fascinating to me.
It's really weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I wish I was doing cool shit like that.
It's not cool.
That sounds great.
Yeah. And then I think the next question, I was like, he's like, no, I got work to do. She goes, what's he afraid of if he doesn't do his work? I go, oh, he's going to get fired. She goes, what does that mean? I go, there's no use for him anymore.
This is helping. This is helping me.
But also, what is it? Why is it Elmer Fudd? You know?
I don't know, man.
So yeah, but we're identifying. I forget the big black jagged crystal one was like. It was something kind of intense. It was like my. It was like something to do with like why I'm always. I have to always be on time. It's like the the like get it fucking right. Like don't fuck up.
Yeah.
Like that one was like a big protector.
So it looks painful even if you were to touch it or approach down. It. Yeah. Yeah,
relax. And so that one was like making sure I don't fuck up. And then like, what if we asked it to step aside? And you know, we did that. And what is this part afraid of if it steps aside and lets you handle things for a while? I was like, it's afraid I'm gonna make a mistake. And I'm gonna humiliate myself.
Ooh.
Yeah. So now that I'm talking about it, it makes it sound a little more interesting.
Yeah, I'm digging this. I can't believe you're not digging this.
Yeah. So we're.
Oh man, this is for me.
Well, I'll give you a number.
Yeah, I gotta.
You gotta do some parts work.
I gotta get in there.
It's weird, man. But like in the moment, I'm just like, it looks like a crystal. Oh, I don't know. You're gonna humiliate yourself.
Right.
But I am interested once we get them all out and like start mapping them. I'm interested to see what it turns out to be.
What does mapping them look like? What is that? What is that term?
Literally writing them down.
Oh, okay.
And like that Always Sunny meme with Charlie Day. He's got all the strings on the board. Yeah. She's like, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be trying to connect all these and where they formed and what they're, how they're working together, that kind of thing.
Holy shit. This sounds so exciting.
That's not.
And whenever you come home from it, you're always like, nah, I just did part stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. And you just make it sound so like,
yeah,
whatever. It sounds fucking rad. I'm so into this.
It's not in the moment. It's so stupid and boring.
Yeah.
But I'm really trying to trust her that it's a good use of time and that mm-hmm. in the long run, it's going to be beneficial. It's also brand new, and I do feel silly doing it sometimes.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So it's I struggle with feeling silly, unless I'm choosing to like be silly and like I could dick around with you and be a fucking goof dick,
yeah,
all
yeah.
day. But like, my therapist, I'm not gonna be silly for you.
Really?
Who do you think you are? Yeah.
Is it a comfortability thing, do you think, with her, or do you think it's because it's like business time that you're there for therapy, so it's like business time?
I think I'm only like. Like true goofball, I only share that part of myself with certain people.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
You're the same way. Like you'll joke around.
Mm-hmm.
But like true, like
yeah,
goofy. Like that's not for everybody.
No. Yeah.
And so like if I feel silly or I'm just I just get embarrassed.
Yeah,
like,
do you think it's a big kid thing?
Maybe.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's cuz that's where my thought goes is
yeah.
I struggled so much to just fit in and be fucking cool or just be likable.
Mm-hmm.
That yeah, if you were to see me being that silly or whatever, then you wouldn't think that I was like cool or whatever, so I would hide those parts. I had struggled so much just to fit in because I was bigger and whatever.
Yeah.
Couldn't
fit in. See what you did there?
Couldn't fit in.
Shut up.
Come on, everybody. But
dude,
yeah.
That picture you posted on Instagram and you doing the phone thing. So funny.
Let's talk about the bowl cut, shall we?
Buddy.
Oh, like, yeah.
Get the boy some glasses. Get him his glasses.
Get him his glasses.
The drawings are only doing so much.
This kid needs some glasses. Step up that game.
What was I going to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard for me to feel silly. Like a couple weeks ago, excuse me, sorry. If you skip the intro, I'm sick. So bear with me. I'm sorry. We were talking about my dad, and she's like, what would you say to your dad? And I was like, oh, I would say like this. She's like, no, say it to me like I'm your dad. And I was like, you want a role play right now?
Yeah, that's...
I'm sorry. Where's my script?
Yeah.
I do this professionally. I'm not doing this in here.
Wow.
And I felt so silly. Mm-hmm. And the only way I could do it, I had to lean my head back and look at the ceiling. And I was and I started saying things I would say to him, but I couldn't look at her and say it because it felt too ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so we did that and then never talked to my dad since. So it's been weird.
She is just like your dad. She's taking this too far, role playing.
I didn't know she was a method actor. Yeah. What's
going
on with you? Talking about your dad?
No, it's kind of a dead subject.
Hey,
come on, guys. We're on a fucking
roll. He just got back from the road.
Is this thing on? I hope not. Oh, buddy. It's so interesting, the role-playing thing. I have so many questions about that.
Go ahead.
What is it just the silliness is why you couldn't make eye contact with her?
Yeah, it feels weird.
Huh. What do you think would happen if you were to?
Okay. What would happen if we asked that part to step aside? That part that wants you to put your head back. What's your question?
What would happen?
Yeah.
If you didn't, if you leaned into the seriousness of it and not the silliness of it, and you really looked her in the eye as if she was your father and said those things.
I don't know. I don't think I could do it. It feels so ridiculous.
Hmm.
It feels like acting or like I have to perform.
It's not authentic.
Maybe. And I mean, even acting, like when I'm on camera, like the first take's always like just getting the jitters out, like performing in, because you have a whole crew watching you. And yeah, it just, it, I don't know. It's, because then it's no longer like me having therapy with my therapist. It's like her watching me pretend. Why are we, it just feels weird. Why would I come in here to pretend? And then you want to watch me pretend? Go turn on the History Channel. You'll find me. You know?
Do you think... Do you believe in those playing pretend or whatever? Do you? Could you chalk it up as practice to a real conversation you would like to have one day? Would that make it feel more real and less acting or more authentic?
No. Really? I would have no problem saying things to him. Wouldn't bother me at all.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Yeah, you would think that if, yeah, if you think if you're trepidatious to say it to her, then you would be even more terrified to say it to him.
No, no. Wouldn't I say it to him?
Does she know that? Because maybe she thinks she's gearing you up or trying to get you to go through the motions or to have practice under your belt for preparedness.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if she ever asked me if I would be okay saying it to him.
Because it sounds like, I mean, obviously it's a therapy exercise. So exercise is always for something later.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. But even like, this is a little off topic, but like sexually, I'm not a role play guy.
This is really off topic.
Like, I'm not into the like, ooh, let's pretend we're. Like,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to know why? What if I do it wrong? That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is.
How do you get over that idea of like doing it wrong?
Oh, suicide. That's it. I got to talk to the big black jagged crystal and
be
like, hey, it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You're not going to be humiliated. It's okay to do it wrong.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. I don't know if it, the root of it is like a confidence thing. Like I need to feel competent or I don't know what the root of it is, but I got to do it. I got to make sure I do it right. You know?
Are you like that when you're by yourself or just with others?
No, by myself.
Really?
Yeah. Because even if I'm like, if I'm trying a new workout or something, and like I've watched YouTube videos on the form, like I will sit and like be in the mirror and like try to make sure I'm doing it. Yeah. It's just this weird like perfectionism thing.
Okay. Because I get flustered when I'm around other people. And you know this from like driving with me. Like I feel really like they're watching every single move I make.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a fuck.
I just need you to know that like I saw him and like I wasn't going to let him hit me.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah. We all saw him.
Yeah.
It's good.
And if you didn't, even better.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah. I just need you to know that I was like, I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I get really weird. Even doing stuff around the house, you know, like if you're standing in the kitchen and I'm like opening a package or something, I'm so, every action, every move I make has to be like
to like know that you're opening the package or that you're going to clean up after yourself or what?
All that, that I I don't want to look like a fucking idiot. I don't want you to look over and be like, he's cutting that weird.
He's cutting that weird.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's how I was taught to cut things. You know what I mean? Or whatever. It's whatever that is. And not just you, but like anybody around me, I would be like, God, I hope they think that this is the right way.
That weird.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's wild.
Yeah.
Huh.
And that's, you know what? Oftentimes that's when I do fuck up.
When you're trying too hard?
Mm-hmm. When I'm thinking, like, what would they do right now?
Yeah.
What would Jesus do? You know, that's when I really fuck up. But no, that's what I think. I'm like, how would they do this? And I better do it just like they would, or else they're going to be like, fuck is this idiot doing?
Yeah.
And then I mess up, and then they go, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, oh, sorry.
Fuck are you doing?
Yeah. That's what plays in my head all the time. Fuck are you doing?
Oh, God.
I don't know, man.
You can't win, huh?
No.
Damn.
Yeah, because even if I do it perfect, they're not going to be like, you really.
Like, dude, you fucking cut that package
buddy,
open.
I'm going to bring packages to you to
first
open.
First time.
Buddy, good job.
Yeah.
Nobody's fucking doing that.
Yeah.
It's only when you fuck up there. What the fuck are you doing?
How you doing? You open. You know about opening boxes, right?
Right. You know that before? Yeah, I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, fuck. So it's you don't want to look like a dumbass.
Yeah, oh, it's embarrassment. It's rooted in embarrassment. A lot of things that I'm uncomfortable with are rooted in embarrassment.
But is it, what is the embarrassment? That you're being seen as stupid?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Because you said growing up, you always, you didn't give a fuck about school, but you could do it.
Yeah.
So everybody thought you were stupid.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and being a comic and all those things, like,
yeah, comics are dumb.
Nobody's ever taken my job seriously.
Yeah, well, comics are dumb.
Never.
Comics are dumb as fuck.
Yeah. But yeah, the question you always get as a comic is like, so what else you do? Oh, this is it, man.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing.
What's your main job?
Yeah. You're like, I was just on Comedy Central, so this is what I'm doing. Yeah. It's like, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, they flew me in.
Yeah. Yeah.
For this.
You're not going to believe this.
Yeah. They're paying me to be here.
But yeah. So it's something I've dealt with my whole life of just kind of like, fuck you doing?
I'm
like,
yeah.
Oh.
Interesting.
But when I'm by myself, very confident in my emotions. I know what I'm doing because I'm like, oh, I'll figure it out. Mm. Yeah.
But when they're spectators, you the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh. Is there anything I could do when I'm around you doing stuff?
Mm-hmm.
To like make you feel less flustered?
Yeah, don't be around.
Oh, so there's nothing I can do, like, in the present.
No, because it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to just know that you're around and there's eyes on me.
What if there's not eyes on you?
You're still there. So if I
can hear you fuck
up. Yeah, you can hear me fuck up. You could be texting in the doorway, and I could be, you know, cutting something, and you'll be like, fuck you doing?
Fuck you doing?
I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you know what? It gets rooted in that embarrassment, and it's rooted in that what we talk about on here before, or what we have talked about on here before, which is the not taking me seriously. And because if I'm dumb, you're not going to take me seriously. If I don't know what I'm doing, you're not going to take me seriously. If I can't open that fucking package, you're not going to take me seriously. So,
have you ever not been able to open a package?
No, I'm just using that as a weird example.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking of like a daily, you know.
Who's sending you these? Yeah.
Can I tell you, here's my little side note. You ready?
Uh-huh.
I love mail. I love getting mail.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like mail.
Even junk mail?
Even junk. I just like, I think it's just somebody's thinking about you, you know.
Capital One.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing I love more than getting me a little bit of mail.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know what that is from, but I like it.
I hate junk mail.
Yeah.
But you know about this. I don't know if I talked about it on the pod. Somebody recently handwrote me a letter and mailed it to me.
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to read it. So, you know.
It wasn't for you. It was for me.
I was, you know, part of the thing. But hey, you know, whatever.
Was the letter addressed to you?
I would have shared it with you, and you know that.
Okay. Well, in the last episode we talked about, don't do that. Some things are just for you.
And that's where my mind gets wrapped up. And like, that's one of the big differences. I wouldn't have thought twice. I'd be like, yo, check this out right away. Unless it was like in the letter being like, hey, don't fucking share this.
But it would have been addressed to both of us if it was for you.
Yeah, doesn't help my curiosity, you know?
Okay. Is it curiosity or is it insecurity that you think the letter was about you?
Oh, absolutely don't think it's about me.
Okay.
I want the tea.
There's no tea.
I want the tea.
There's no tea.
There is tea. There's a mysterious letter that showed up addressed only to you.
Yeah.
That's tea. Give me tea. A drink of that fucking tea.
Do you want to read it?
I need it. I would love to read it.
Why?
I just told you.
No, just for the tea?
I need the tea.
Oh.
I need to know what it says.
Why?
Because I'm
Let me
curious.
Ask you a question.
Yeah.
What part of you needs to know?
Nancy.
And what if we ask Nancy to step aside and just let Michael deal with the letter? What is Nancy afraid would happen?
Well, that Michael's going to get left out.
And let's say that were true. What would that mean?
People don't like Michael as much as they like Lou.
And let's say that was true.
Mm-hmm.
What would that mean?
Michael's a big fucking dummy, and you can't take him seriously. No, but it is that. It is that it's an inclusive thing, because it wasn't just a random letter from somebody that you knew. It was from a situation that we were both involved in, and a letter came.
It was a guest on the podcast.
It was a guest on the pod. I was obviously there.
Yeah.
Also, the letter came to just
Much
you.
Much to our chagrin.
Yeah. And okay. So that's where it comes in. That's where the tea is, where I'm like, oh, well, what did it say? What it's about? And here's why I'm able to turn that off. And I haven't thought about it since we talked about it.
Yeah.
That's a lie. But I tried to float it by. I couldn't. That's a fucking lie.
How often do you think about it?
Oh, I think about it all the time.
No, you do not.
I swear to God, I do.
You think about that letter all the time.
I swear to God, I do. One, I like mail. Two, you're keeping it from me, and I don't like that. And three, I'm going to be included. So yeah, I think about that letter all the time.
You thought about it today?
Yes. Now.
You did not.
I swear to God.
Think about that letter today.
Absolutely, I did. Absolutely.
What were your thoughts?
I want to know what it says. Here's the thing.
Get the fuck out of here with this. What's the thing?
Here's why I'm able to, like, I dropped it, right? I haven't brought it up.
Thought about it today. But
but I haven't brought it up to you, have
uh-huh.
I?
No, you haven't.
Okay. And here's
how hard has that been?
Extremely hard. Now here's why I'm able to not bring it up to you.
Pride.
Because
pride.
No.
We know why.
No. Because you and this guest hit it off. You guys had a lot of similarities and had a lot in common, and we're dealing with a lot of similar things that I could not relate to. So I assume whatever is in that letter has things to do with those connections. And I did not have that connection with that person. And so I'm able to let that go and go, okay, that's about something that they shared that was special. Great. And I'm able to move on. Now, if it would have been something more ambiguous, like a fruit basket only addressed to you that just said, hey, thanks for having me on, I'd be like, well, hey, I was there too. You know what I mean? Then it would be a different issue. Then I'd be like, I didn't get a fucking fruit basket. Totally different. But I saw the connection that you guys shared on similar issues and what your struggles and everything like that. And so, and I did not relate as deeply as you guys did. So, I'm able to go, hey, I didn't get a letter. I know why. It's okay.
And that doesn't help you not want to read this.
No, I want to read the fucking letter. But I understand why I'm not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if that person hears this, if they're going to write you a letter.
Oh, they're absolutely going to hear this. I don't want your pity letter. But
yes, he does.
I also love some mail. But I don't want no pity letter, but I understand why you got a letter, but I still would love the tea, but I will never pressure you about it.
There's no tea.
And I've not brought it up since, right?
Yeah, there's no tea.
There's always tea, my man.
There's no tea.
There's always tea to be had. This is the Boston Tea Party, my guy.
Jesus Christ. What are you doing in therapy? Go talk about this fucking letter.
Well, this week I'm going to talk about the letter. No. My therapist was proud of me this week.
We were all proud of you this week.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I feel really, really good. I've had some hard conversations. I've really stepped into my own on a couple things. I've been leaning into life more. I've been saying yes more.
Yeah,
it's just, I'm just feeling really, really good right now. and working on all the things that I've been trying to work on.
Yeah.
I just got back from Vegas, which was such a great trip and something that I never would have done even a couple of years ago. You know what I mean? Like, even 6 months ago, I wouldn't have done this.
Did you have anybody that was like, hey, obviously go to Vegas?
Well, yeah, of course.
Who did that?
My therapist.
That's not true.
She wrote me a letter. No, you can't read it.
I did do that. You're right. I did suggest it.
You did. And it was so dumb because I had two really good friends that were playing the comedy club there in Vegas that I love and it feels like family to me, and I haven't been in a few months. Mm-hmm. And so it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But my anxiety before, I would have stewed on that trip mm-hmm. for days, and then I wouldn't have gone, and then I would look back on it and be like, I should have went to Vegas and you know, blah, blah, blah. But this time around, we were talking about it. I was like, I should go to Vegas and see them and hang out. I was like, I got a couple days here and whatever. And you were like, yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, yeah, I should do that. And then I packed a bag and I fucking went to Vegas.
Yeah.
Wild.
Real proud of you.
Wild.
Yeah. You had a great time.
Yeah, I had an incredible time. And even when I was there, I was saying yes to things that like I would normally be like, I don't know. Like, we went to Topgolf, which doesn't sound like a crazy big thing. I
love Topgolf.
But I normally don't do a bunch of activities or hangouts or meet, like, especially like last minute things or whatever are never my thing.
Yeah.
But they were like, hey, we should go to Topgolf tomorrow afternoon. And I was like, yep. And then I actually went to fucking Topgolf and had lunch and we golfed and we hung out and it was a great fucking time. And I was like, oh yeah, this is what happens when you start saying yes more.
Yeah.
And then even afterwards, a buddy of mine and I have been trying to catch up for a while, and we were trying to get some like one-on-one time when I was there in Vegas, and we were finding it hard to do. So after Topgolf, he was like, hey, you want to run and grab a donut or something, blah, blah, blah. And I was exhausted. Yeah. And any time before, like 9 times out of 10, I've been like, nah, man, I gotta go back to the room. But I was like, yeah, let's do that. And I went and spent an hour and a half with him and caught up and had a donut and rode around town. And it was just like, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And I got to do multiple things in a day, which, again, I never.
Yeah, you're one a day.
I'm a one a day guy. Yeah. Even this trip to Vegas, I have another trip coming up to Georgia on Wednesday. And I have this small window. I'm only home for like 10 days. And this Vegas trip is like 2.5 days in between there. Yeah. I never would have done it just because.
Yeah,
I have that upcoming trip on Wednesday, so I'd have been like, no, I gotta leave on the, you know, the 10th or whatever the fuck. That would have prevented me just right off the bat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's wild saying yes more to the things that I really care about and want to do and give my time and energy to. I'm loving it.
How'd you do at Topgolf?
Buddy.
You think you could beat me at Topgolf?
Absolutely.
And here's the thing that makes me mad.
Because I'm so quick with absolutely, or because I just think about it in general?
Because the last time I went to Topgolf
was
in Arizona, mm-hmm. and I played with my buddy Kyle, mm-hmm. who he and I play real golf. He's never beat me at real golf.
Mm.
He beat my ass at Topgolf.
Yeah.
It was very, very upsetting.
Interesting. I did not know that I was going to do that well at Topgolf.
None of us did.
Yeah,
you sent me a picture of the score.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't even close.
Buddy.
Yeah, you were just wailing on motherfuckers out there.
And I had no idea.
Yeah.
I haven't golfed in forever. I have not. I haven't swung a club in probably since when you and I went to the driving range in Arizona. Was that four or five years ago?
Yeah.
That was the last time I swung a club.
Damn.
Bruh. I'm just beating the brakes off these guys.
Yeah. That was, well.
It was so funny because.
You remember what happened? That's when you.
Oh. The Arizona trip?
Yeah.
When I. Yeah, I put, what it was, a hamstring?
You.
Is that what you're talking about?
Pulled your hamstring doing what?
During. Sex.
Receiving oral sex.
Yes, yes. Getting a blowjob, but blew out a fucking hammy.
Hey, man. How does that happen?
Hey, man, I don't know. I don't know.
Good for you.
Age and good oral. Fucking blew a hammy.
Shout out to her.
Got to stretch more.
Yeah.
My buddy Ken went with us to Topgolf, and he was kind of teasing me at first. And he's like, do you know how to hold the club and all this? I'm like, yeah, I'll be fine. He's like, have you been golfing? I was like, yeah, I've been golfing. He's like, you golf? I was like, yeah, I've been golfing before. And he's like, okay. And he's kind of being shitty about it, you know, just kind of ball busting. And then I started swinging, and he was like, oh, shit. And I was like, yeah, my dad had, like, PGA tags on his golf bag and stuff like that. And so I grew up when my dad golfed all the fucking time, and he would take me out all the time. And I hated it because I was a little kid, and I didn't fucking know. But that was the quality. If you wanted to spend time with dad, that's what you did.
Did you golf as a kid?
Yeah. I wouldn't say that I golfed as a kid. I was present on a golf course.
Got it. Okay.
As a kid.
You didn't have like your own clubs and shit?
I did, but my father bought them for me and I could give a fuck about them.
Yeah.
And all I remember, I mean, all the time my dad would just beat into my head all the time about like the grip and the swing and the stance and how far my legs should be apart. Yeah. Like
and your grip is still wrong.
Yeah.
It kills me every time.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he would just drill that into me. And so, carried over a little bit.
Yeah. Nice. You have your dad's golf clubs?
I do. They are in the storage unit in Ohio.
You got to bring those out here.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah. Even just the bag and put new clubs in it.
How do you get, you just check them? Like, how do you get them here?
Yeah, you just fly them.
Okay. I need to figure that out. Yeah.
We need to go golfing.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a long time. Well,
yeah.
Another thing I've been working on is not accepting other people's energy. I've been really trying to focus really hard on identifying things that are like, oh, that's not about me or for me. When normally it would just, no matter what, it just gets through the gates and affects me.
It's hard to do.
Yeah. I recently, I had somebody make a comment. I took a phone call around somebody, and when I got off the phone, they had heard like a female voice on the other end. It was my aunt. And this person made a comment. They said, oh, who is that? You know? I said, oh, it was aunt, you know, whatever. And she goes, oh, I was hoping it was your girlfriend. And I go, yeah, I don't have one of those. And she's like, oh, that's so sad. And I go, no, I'm okay. And she was like, kind of pressing me on it. And she's like, well, your clock is running out. And I was like,
to get pregnant? What are you talking about?
I was like, I don't have a clock.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Yeah, you need to have a family. You need to have some kids and all these things." And I was like, "No, I'm really okay." And they're like, "You need somebody to take care of you. You need a girlfriend." And I go, "No, I'm all right." And
so stupid.
In those moments before, I would have to feel the need to like justify myself or to like get into a conversation with this person about why I don't need these things or care about these things or whatever the fuck. And this time around, I was just able to be like, oh, that's not for me. That energy you're trying to put out there and these things, like, that's not for me. And I was able to not let it affect me and kind of, I was describing to my therapist as like almost like Matrix, you know. I was like, that's not for kids. You need kids. No, I don't. You need them. Like, nope, that's not for me.
Buddy, you're growing so much.
I'm trying.
You're doing it.
I'm really trying. And what I talked to my therapist about was this person and we don't agree on a lot of kind of those traditional ideas.
Yeah.
And so I think it was easier for me to dodge those things and be like, yeah, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. And what I told my therapist was like, I'm trying to figure out now how to apply that to others. Just like if a stranger comes at me and they're like, hey, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, whoa, that's not for me.
Yeah.
because that's directly into my people pleasing, which I'm being more aware of and I'm trying, but mm-hmm. it's not guaranteed yet. And yeah. so that'll be the real test. If it's somebody that I, or somebody that I care about that comes at me with something and I'm like, oh fuck, that's not for me. But I care about this person. I don't want them yeah. to think of me in this way. So now what?
Is it so then you don't want them to think of you in this way?
Yeah.
But then are you also worried about them feeling like dismissed? If you do, just be like, that's not for me. No, I'm good.
No. Because I'm healed enough to recognize that that's on them. Mm. That if you feel that strongly that like, you need to have children and all this stuff. Like, no. And like, and we can talk about it, but I'm not worried about you feeling dismissed. I'm just like, I know that you feel deeply about that and that's okay. That's not for me.
Why do people think other people need to have kids? What is that
I
about?
I don't know, man.
Is that religion?
I understand it more now since I was in a relationship with somebody who had a child and uh-huh. I bonded with them and it was great. And like, I felt the way I felt in very similar ways that I imagine Wayne felt with me. Wayne took me in as his own and was like, this is my kid. You know what I mean? Like he would fucking stand up for me, fight somebody for me. Like Wayne was like ride or die, you know? Yeah. And I felt very similar, in those ways. And I looked at love in a different way. Even though it wasn't my child, I still had this like, it's a different kind of love. It's a very protective love.
Yeah.
So I can see it in those, and the joy that you get and the reliving that you get, you know, when she was coming home from school and sharing stories about, you know, this and that, like it brought me back to my childhood and I got to have those feelings kind of rush back again and that nostalgia and everything like that. Like that was magical. And it's something I'd never experienced before or knew that that was what people had been describing mm-hmm. with children. So like, I get it, but that still doesn't, it's not enough for me to change my mind and go, I need to have one to, you know, whatever. Like, no, that's still not for me. I understand it. I understand the argument of like, you'll never know love like this until you have a kid, or you'll never blah, blah, blah until you have a kid. Like, I get it. Still no.
I'm okay. You're okay with missing out.
Yeah. Because I think if it's, I don't look at it as missing out. Mm. And
you usually do.
Yeah. Yeah. In this case, it's, I also think, like, if I meet somebody and they have a child, that's okay. That's not a deal breaker for me. Mm. That's almost like, it's a bonus. You know what I mean? Mm.
Sounds like you just don't want to deal with a baby.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
That is not, I know myself. I know how selfish I can be and how selfish I am. And I would hate that. I would fucking hate that.
Yeah, babies are a lot.
Yeah, it's all of your time. All of your time.
Yeah.
For years. Not well, just
I have
like
a dog.
It's
a pain
it's a
in
couple
the ass.
Months of like rough not a, it's all of your time yeah. for many, many years. Yeah. Like I'm good. I'm good. I'm trying to accomplish way too much to, yeah, like you said, even have a dog. I can't even have a dog right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, dog is, oh, dude, every time I want to take a trip, I'm like, who's going to watch this fucking dog?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, she's such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
She's a problem.
I can't even stay at a house party too long because I got a dog.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
You know, I got to take off. I got to go let my dog out.
Yeah.
That's always my go-to.
Yeah.
Or if I'm late, my dog threw up. Everybody understands your dog threw up.
You also don't want kids. You're about to get a vasectomy, though.
Yeah.
But you enjoy kids. Like you talk to you FaceTime with your niece all the time.
I enjoy one and, kid.
Just the one.
I enjoy one kid.
Yeah.
Here's what I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
When my niece was born. She's great. She's like a little worm.
Yeah.
And like you get to feed her. Sometimes she'll cry. You change a diaper. And they're so great. She just turned 4. And the more independent she gets, the less she's all over you and like wants to play. And I don't want to say like the novelty wears off, but it's, I don't love her less, but she's not as into me as she was.
Yeah. Oh.
And
yeah.
I see that and I'm like, if this was my kid, I understand the urge to have another kid.
Because
I feel like you're almost chasing that, that love you have for like this little thing that's that like needs you.
Yeah.
And you love it so much and you're like giving it life and you're doing it. And then it becomes like a human and you're like, oh, and I don't know. It seems like it would be like having a teenager.
I was just going to say that.
And like your little human is driving around in a car. I can't imagine how much that hurts.
Yeah.
That's just like this independent adult out in the world. And you're just there like, I'm still your dad. I'm still your mom. Like that's got to hurt like a motherfucker, right?
Buddy, I got hurt in a similar way. Yeah. When I was dating my ex, when I first got with her daughter was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And we hit it off right away. Video games, junk food, pizza, you know what I mean?
You're like, both 12.
Yeah, we were both 12. It was fucking great. And there were times where, you know, once we bonded and stuff, like, we'd be watching. There'd be, like, movie nights we'd have. And my ex and I would sit on the couch, and she would sit in between. She'd want to be in between us. And she'd fall asleep on my shoulder. Or she'd be cuddled up with us and things like that. And it was fucking great. And then she turned 13, became a woman, and did not want anything to do with either one of us, me especially.
Yeah.
And was less lovey and huggy and like, you know, didn't want to be around, thought we were like uncool kind of thing.
Did it feel like rejection?
It did. It did. Because, and it was, here's the thing, I had just fallen in love with her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, oh, this is fucking great. Oh, you don't want to hang?
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And then I was chasing forever. And it was just kind of like waiting around for her to like come around again. And she did.
Yeah. That but sounds fucking terrible.
Yeah. There's a few years there where you're just kind of like, you're just not cool enough. You know? And I get it. And even during the pandemic, like, We would always like go to movies and stuff like that. Like I said, or have movie nights. So during the pandemic, I had ordered a projector and I got a movie screen and I turned our garage into a little movie theater. I put the projector screen on the garage door and I moved the couches around. I put up this air bed. So it was like this big, like comfy thing, of blankets and pillows down. I printed little movie tickets. And so, you know, with little movie times on it because...
Oh, my God. You were so down bad for this kid.
Oh, because I had missed those times that we had shared.
Yeah.
So much.
Was she into it?
She came down. They both came down. I made popcorn. I went to the dollar store. I bought those little snacks you buy at the, you know, those little boxes of, like, Reese's Pieces and things. And so I had all that. And she came down and she was, like, kind of there for like maybe half hour, 40 minutes, but she was like texting the whole time and like talking to her friends on the phone kind of thing and doing her own thing. And then she left, but
yeah, dude, like,
but then she started coming around. I started doing it more often. And that was the thing that I learned. It was consistency, right? It was allowing to give her space. And I wasn't trying to make it an event anymore. It was just, I'm doing this thing. If you want to come hang. And eventually she would come around and then she'd stay longer than longer. And it was like,
yeah, no, I'm not interested in that kind of game.
Oh, it was great.
Don't play games with me.
Yeah.
What was this?
But it was just, I had my girl back for a minute.
Yeah.
And it felt so good.
How's it feel now?
You're such a piece of shit.